The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, the 14th of March. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the remainder of the first hour here. We're going to be talking about this encounter between Jesus and one of the teachers of the law, an expert in the law, who does not appear to understand what Jesus is talking about. I don't think he's being obstinate. I don't think he's being cute. He simply does not understand what Jesus is talking about. And so Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
What Jesus ends up talking to Nicodemus about is rebirth, birth from above, or we might say being born again. Nicodemus just absolutely does not understand what's going on at first until Jesus explains. Why is it important that we today, when we use this language, born again, are very careful in how we define it?
Oh, great question. And, you know, I think some of us even are so careful that we don't even want to use those words. But it's true, we're born again, but there are some different understandings out there, and I think that's what you're getting at. There's a whole lot of the Christian church, particularly the Reformed or Protestant world, that speaks of being born again in a way that that we wouldn't, and that really doesn't reflect what Jesus is talking about here, and that is to be born again, to make a decision for Jesus, and to know that moment and that hour when you decided to ask Jesus into your heart. And that is not what's going on here, and that comes out very clearly in this text with Jesus talking with Nicodemus. But we can say, and we confess as Lutherans, we're born again of water and the Spirit through the sacrament of holy baptism. So we can talk about it, and we should talk about it. And if someone asks us, which sometimes happens, you know, so, Lutheran, are you born again? Do you really know? I've had people ask me that. And yes, I am born again by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and the sacrament of holy baptism. And that happened when I was an infant. I don't remember it, but it happened, and the power is with God and not with me. So I am indeed born again.
Tell us the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus.
Sure. This, you know, this is a great story, and I got to tell you, in my growing up, it's not, I don't ever remember hearing this in Sunday school. I certainly remember the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, learning that by heart. But this story somehow escaped me. And to hear that passage in the context of the story really is wonderful. You've got Nicodemus. He's a man of the Pharisees, and he's a ruler of the Jews. And that means that he is part of that Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. And he's an elite Jew and a leader among the Pharisees, and they're focused on strict adherence to the Old Testament laws and regulations, the ceremonial things. So he lives a life in the law, in the shadow of the law, and he's obviously heard about Jesus, heard about his preaching, his miracles, and he's wondering what the deal is. And he comes to him by night because it wouldn't look good for him to be asking questions of Jesus. But he comes to him and asks him, Rabbi, he says, teacher, We know that you are a teacher come from God because, and he says, because no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus then answers him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, here's where he just doesn't get it. How can a man be born when he's old? He's thinking of physical birth. How can I be born again? Can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he asks him, you know, do you marvel that I say these things? And then he makes this wonderful statement, Jesus does in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus still, how can these things be? What are you know, confused. And Jesus says, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? And he says again, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and that we is important. We need to talk about that, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. And he continues the discussion and talks about himself. He says, no one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then there's that wonderful gospel in a nutshell. God, he tells Nicodemus very straight, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then he talks about why God sent his Son, and not to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. And continues to tell about himself and how one has life. And that's the story. It's really very short, and it's a one-on-one Jesus teaching this curious leader in the Jewish church.
You said that the word we is important there. Why so?
Well, this is really a neat thing when you look at this text, and you know, we could breeze right over it, but a couple times there he refers to we. And he's teaching Nicodemus, and he's making a bold proclamation in this. I say to you, we speak of what we know. Who is that we? Well, first in this text, he speaks of the Holy Spirit. We've got Jesus speaking, and then later in the text, Jesus talking about God the Father sending his Son into the world. So here you have all three persons of the Trinity. And the we is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, present in his discussion here. And that would connect to Jesus' baptism. When God the Father speaks, the Spirit descends as a dove upon the Son of God, Jesus himself. Again, another Trinitarian reference, and here we see it again in this text. So a lot of theology here in these few verses in this story.
He is trying to explain something to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is thinking at first purely in human terms.
Yes.
And then it ends up actually being more of a conversation about Jesus himself than about the means by which God brings people into the kingdom of God, that namely baptism. As important as this is as a text for baptism, which it is, mm-hmm. ultimately Jesus and Nicodemus have to talk about Jesus, don't they?
Yeah. He's got to understand who Jesus is. Not just a holy man, not just someone sent by God. Is, you know, when he comes to Jesus, he says, you know, nobody could do these things unless God is with him, not getting that he is God incarnate. And you've got this really a whole witness here from God the Father, the Holy Spirit, from Jesus himself speaking about that Son of God, the coming of Jesus into the world to save us. Jesus appeals here in this lesson to the account of the Old Testament Israel. You know that wonderful story we teach in Sunday school about the bronze, the serpent on the pole when the snakes were biting the children of Israel, and he makes a connection of that to himself, and he says, "So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is all about turning Nicodemus to seeing with eyes of faith that this Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, not just someone who God is with, but he is God, God incarnate, the one who's come to save him. And that's what's going on here. He's making the case for it.
One of our guests once said that if you read Jesus' words in this Nicodemus encounter with being born again as anything other than Christian baptism, water yeah. and word together, the work of the Holy Spirit to create faith in the heart of an unbeliever, if you read it in any other way, you have to turn entrance into the kingdom of God into human effort.
That's exactly right. And when you make it human effort, then you've put uncertainty into it, and how can I know? How can I know that I believe enough? How can I know that I'm really born again? Is it going to count? Is it going to work? And you create doubt and uncertainty. And this whole passage is so rich with what God does. The water and the Spirit, and even that John 3:16, we slice and dice it in so many ways, but for God so loved the world, that is a way of saying this is how God loved the world. He loved the world by giving his Son, his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. This isn't, you know, that for God so loved the world, so often we say it in the way, God loved the world so much. But really, Jesus here is saying this is how God's love is. And it's that upside-down kind of thing that the Son of God has to come and be raised on a pole, on a cross, and suffer and die, taking on the world's sin so that those who believe will be saved.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Jesus teaching Nicodemus on this Monday afternoon, March the 14th.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view,
Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
We're talking about Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus on this Monday afternoon with Deaconess Pam Nielsen for about another 10 minutes. In the second hour of the program, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about the media coverage of Newt Gingrich and the story he tells of his forgiveness. Pam, let's talk a little bit more about it's not just an analogy of birth, and I think that's where a lot of readers of this account will begin to misread. They think Jesus is using a metaphor or merely an analogy of birth. He really is talking about being born again, being born from above, being, as John would say earlier in the gospel in his prologue, being born of God, isn't he?
Yes, he really is. And it's a truly a new life, a life in Christ. Before we believe, before we've received the Holy Spirit and the faith that he gives us through water and the word, we are not part of the family of God. We are outside of it. And we are then born into it, given a new life, a new family, and all that goes with that, all the blessings and goodness of being in the family of God. And it does change us. It doesn't always change us in a way that you or I can see, because, you know, to me you still look like a filthy, rotten sinner, and I look that way to you. But it's the Spirit working in us through the Word, through that sacrament of baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through the preaching, as He draws us to Himself through His Word and changes us and makes us His own. It's sort of a ongoing life. Well, it is an ongoing life, but it's not like we're changed, boom, in an instant, and we're suddenly nothing like we were before. But we are different, and now we live in this family of God, forgiven, redeemed children of God, and we live out our vocations, the callings He's given us, whatever that may be. We do the best we can, and we do, as Luther said, daily remember our baptism, repent of our sins, and remember whose we are, how we became His, making the sign of the cross, knowing that our sins are forgiven because of Christ.
And the emphasis that you were talking about before on this being God's doing, and the only real comfort here in Jesus' words being on what God has done in and through Jesus Christ, really comes across in Jesus' language, because
yes,
I had nothing to do with my natural birth.
That's right.
I was a passive participant, if you will. Mm-hmm. I was there. I was in the process, but I didn't do anything whatsoever.
That's exactly right. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't birth yourself. It was all done to you. And even, you know, if you want to carry that even a little further, being born into your human family, how much was done for you, to you, on your behalf, as you were growing up, shaping you, molding you into Todd Wilkin, son of the Wilkin parents, into who you are. The same way when we're born into this family of God, the Spirit does it through the Word, through the water, brings us into God's family, and then by the Word and the sacraments shapes us and forms us and brings us along in this family of God. And that's why, you know, it's not a religion of just me, myself, and Jesus, but we're in a family where we're with other believers who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and God calls us to worship together in His house, to receive His gifts of Word and sacrament, and that shapes us and changes us and brings us together. And then we go out and live our lives as His children in the world and bear the light of Christ to each other and to those we encounter in our vocations.
Kind of brings us to where this reading sits, situated as it is at the head of Lent. So often Christians think that Lent is about feeling sorry for Jesus or about, as you put it, watching poor Jesus go to the cross and suffer and die, and then the emphasis kind of becomes on our sympathy for him. How would you reorient, on the basis of these readings, our thinking about Lent?
Well, Luther has a great little writing on that. He says, whoever believes in Christ, whoever believes that Christ was born, that he died for us, was buried for us, and was raised from the dead, is born anew or reborn. This makes a person a new man. And so now we're animated by the thought that Christ died for us and that he was raised from the dead. And this Lenten season then gives us an opportunity to focus on what that means for us, to think about our membership in the family of God, our being a child of God, how we became his, and to live as his children, turning to him in faith and trust, praying for our neighbor, caring for our neighbor, focusing on who Jesus is for us, and realizing that we are his forgiven, saved, redeemed children, and what that means for us in this world and the next. It's a whole different thing than trying to impress God during Lent with our extra prayers or almsgiving or whatever. But those things we do not because God needs us to do them, but we do them in response to who he is for us, what he's done for us, and we look to him in this season of Lent and to the salvation that he gives us.
What picture, since the subject initially between Jesus and Nicodemus is the kingdom of God, what picture does Jesus paint of it for him and for us? About a minute and a half here.
The picture of the kingdom of God, he makes a picture, I think, isn't it, of being part of this family of God, seeing the kingdom of God, knowing who our Savior is, and living in it. And it's a kingdom for eternity, and it's one where God loves us to death, that his Son came and suffered and died for us. He lived for us, lives for us, blesses us, cares for us, and will carry us home to heaven with him. Eternity of forgiven sins and life in the family of God. And really takes Nicodemus, this law-abiding guy whose whole life is lived under the law, and presents to him Jesus, who fulfilled all of that law, and frees him from it, frees him to be the child of God and to be blessed and forgiven, and now to live a life as a child of God in response to his love for us. And it turns things upside down, doesn't it, this life with Christ?
With only a minute here, Pam, again, wouldn't this be, since we do talk about teaching people of all ages, but including children, on the basis of this passage from John chapter 3, seems like a good time to take the children again to the font and
Absolutely.
To talk to them in concrete terms about where they were born again of water in the Word. 1 minute.
Yeah, that we talk about this a lot, this taking a field trip up to the font, gathering around it, and talking about how it is that we're born again through water in the Word, and rehearsing with the children what the pastor said when they were baptized. Many of them as infants won't remember it, and teaching them to make that sign of the cross and to say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the words that were spoken over them when they were born into the family of God, and so that they daily remember it, and they see this visible place, the font and the water that was brought together with the Word of God, and so that they never forget it. To teach them to live a life of remembering that, as Luther says, to daily remember your baptism. A rich, wonderful teaching for children, of any age, children of God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ, not only when it's dealing with the new, but also throughout all of the Bible, Old Testament and New. We find growing in Christ constantly pointing us, as Christ himself does, to the heart and center of Scripture and to where Christ would always have us look, to his cross. There in John 3, it is very clear Jesus wants Nicodemus, seeking the kingdom of God, to find it in Jesus raised up for the life of the world on the cross. Find out more about growing in Christ. Visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. We're going to spend a little bit with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org, talking to her about media coverage of Newt Gingrich's forgiveness story. He says he found a forgiving God. We'll see how the press has been covering that. Scott Lamb will join us after that. He has co-authored a new book, Pujols More Than the Game. We'll get a biography of Cardinals baseball player Albert Pujols, and then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us on this Monday afternoon, March the 14th. We'll get his thoughts after a long weekend of watching news coverage of the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. We'll get the thoughts of Pastor Matt Harrison. To round off today's Issues Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.